Good morning. This is the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We'll answer any of your legal questions. We are personal injury attorneys, but we'll try to answer any of your legal questions. Give us a call, 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. In the studio here, I have Ryan Wrangler. He does a lot of work comp for our office. Gary and Brad are out. They have some other obligations. This is the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Give us a call, 303-713-8255. You can look us up on the internet at championsofthepeople.com or bellpollock.com. Check out our website. A lot of valuable information. I know that Gary and Brad put together some booklets you can order, accident packets, booklets on work comp, uninsured motorist coverage, and give us a call anytime at our office if you want a free consultation to discuss any sort of case. We'd be happy to discuss that with you, and it is free, so it doesn't hurt. Happy Armed Forces Day to all those serving in the military, and we'll get on over and talk to Ryan a little bit about work comp cases. So, Ryan, if I am injured on the job, what should I do?
Of course, when you're injured on the job, the first thing you want to do is make sure that you're getting the right medical treatment. If it is an emergency, you want to get out there and get into, see a doctor right away. If you have to call an ambulance, get to an ER, whatever it is. If it is not an immediate medical emergency, first thing you want to do, tell your supervisor.
Okay, then I explain to my supervisor what happened and then what should take place at that point.
Your supervisor should direct you to get medical care. Under the Colorado Workers' Comp statute, there is a requirement that your employer provide you options on where to go for your medical treatment. They have to give you a piece of paper that shows you not one, not two, in Denver, at least in large metropolitan areas, four different options for where to go for medical treatment.
And then you get to pick which place you'd like to get your treatment?
You sure do off of that list. So they do get to still have some control over where you go, but you get to pick off of the list of providers that they give you.
Okay. Now, what if you're dissatisfied with the provider?
Well, within your first 90 days, you have the option to choose a different provider off of that list. You can go to somebody else. If it's within the first 90 days of the accident.
So how would I go about doing that?
Well, you want to tell your employer. You want to say, you know, I need to exercise my right to change my physician. You have an automatic right to be able to do that within those first 90 days. After those 90 days, you can ask to change your physician, but the employer doesn't have to accommodate.
So, after that 90 days has passed, what are the chances of the employer allowing me to change, or the adjuster, the insurance adjuster, allowing me to change physicians?
Well, it's pretty low. Generally, they would only do it if it's in their best interest because they don't have to do it. So it's a rare circumstance. It can happen, though, if your physician that you're seeing moves out of state, some other circumstance, you move out of state, you need a new doctor in a new place, you're still getting treatment under work comp, but obviously you can't go back to the doctor you were seeing in Colorado if you live in New York now.
Right, right. Okay, now, in terms of co-payments, medication, do I have to come up with any of that money?
No, that's all covered by the workers' comp statute that your employer and their insurer, their workers' comp insurance company, has to pay for your medicals. That only gets triggered, though, after your claim has been deemed compensable, meaning that it's a valid workers' comp claim.
And what if there's a notice of contest filed and they're trying to fight me on my claim? What do I do at that point in time?
Yeah, so at that point, the insurance company and your employer are denying your claim. They're saying either that your injury is not work-related or that you didn't have an injury at all. Or that you had some, pre-existing condition and there's nothing that happened at the work that's causing the symptoms that you're having now. At that point, things get tougher. You got to go apply for a hearing. You take your case in front of a workers' comp judge and you have the burden to prove that you have a valid work comp claim.
Okay, let's go to the lines. Again, give us a call on any subject, 303-713-8255, 303-713-8255. Oops. Robert, you had a question. Guess he's not. Okay, guess he's not there. We'll continue on with this discussing work comp with Ryan. So, Ryan, you go through the hearing process, and then what takes place?
Then, in most cases, at the end of the hearing, the judge will say that the judge wants written statements. So you don't necessarily get an answer on whether or not your claim is compensable right there at the hearing. A lot of times the parties have the opportunity to write a brief in support of their case, and then the judge goes and reads those and takes their time to make a decision on your case. Then they release a written order. Either your claim is compensable or it's not compensable. If it's not compensable, there's not a lot you can do. I mean, there's an appeal process, but a work comp judge's determination that your claim is not compensable is based on facts, and it's very difficult to overcome.
Okay, so should I have an attorney at that hearing, or is it okay to represent myself?
Oh, goodness, you definitely need an attorney at a hearing like that. I've known people to go in and try and represent themselves pro se, and the insurance company is definitely going to have a lawyer there. So it's just a matter of making sure that you are properly represented and that you have someone on your side who knows all of the rules, statutes, regulations, and work comp. And you stack those up, and it's 3 inches of paper in work comp.
It's pretty technical.
It is.
Okay. And let's say you do win the hearing and you're missing time from work. Then what takes place?
So you're missing time from work. You get paid for that time off from work, but unfortunately you don't get paid your full wages. You get paid only 2/3 of your wages. This is called temporary total disability.
Let's see if we can get this work comp question right back on the line here. Robert, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. How can I help you today?
Yeah, this happened to me. I was working as a machinist, hurt myself going to get some steel out in the steel yard. So I had that taken care of, but the company wanted to place me back in the workforce by doing some office work, come in and do some filing or something like that. Is that proper?
Yes. What they'll do is they have the opportunity to try and get you back to work any way they can, okay? And a lot of times what the employer will do, they'll give you these menial tasks. They have to be within your restrictions, your restrictions that your doctor is giving you, lifting restrictions.
That would be that, yes.
Yeah, so they have to be able to keep those tasks within those restrictions. If they can do that, then yeah, they get to save a little bit of money in a way on temporary total disability.
Hey, Robert, can you hold over the break?
Sure.
All right, great. Okay, well, it's Bell and Pollock Legal Show, 303-713-8255. Call in with any question. Thanks. Good morning. This is the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Give us a call on any question. We'll be happy to answer anything or try to. Today we're talking about work comp. Give us a call at 303-713-8255. I'm Robert Brovich in here with Ryan Wingler. We'll answer any of your questions or give it a shot. And if we can't answer, we'll find someone that can. Right now we're talking to Robert still, and he has a work comp question. Robert, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so go ahead with your situation.
Situation. This is like years ago, but as I say, I was working as a machinist and hurt myself going out into the steel yard in the wintertime. So after going to the doctor for that condition, they said, well, we're going to try to put you back to work in the office doing some filing, and it really was not my bag. Can you refuse to do that work, or do you have to, if they can fit you in pushing a broom, sweeping the floors? I mean, that seems pretty, I mean, what are your rights to say no?
So, unfortunately, in this case, you can always say no, but what that does is it's going to cut off some of your benefits. You know, right now you're getting temporary total disability up until the time that you start working. That's that 2/3 of your average weekly wage. Then if you refuse to take that that job, then they can't, they have grounds to fire you, to let you go.
Oh, I see.
And then, so then that part of your workers' comp claim evaporates. Now, your other work comp benefits are still there. You've got your medicals. They're always going to be there. And your once you hit maximum medical improvement, you'll get, in most cases, you get permanent disability benefits. And if you had a surgery or something like that, you get disfigurement benefits. Those are all still there, okay? It's just that 2/3 of your average weekly wage. So it's basically the choice that you have. Do I want to retain those 2/3 of my average weekly wage if I'm taken off of work by a doctor again?
It looks like we might have lost Robert again. Let's see if we can get him back here. Robert, you there now?
Oh, yes. I know you're having problems. I know it's a real modern world to you, but all these buttons and switches do have a function. And don't touch anything.
I'm not touching it. You keep dropping off somehow.
Well, it's not me.
So if you refuse to return to work, then they have grounds to fire you. But remember, the job they're offering you has to be within your doctor's restrictions.
Right.
So
yeah, usually the doctor will set what you can and can't do, and I understand that. Thanks very much.
You bet. We'll go back to the lines. We got Jimmy out of Longmont. Jimmy, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What's your question?
So I'm a contractor for a moving company, and I'm looking at changing companies. Now, I had a guy who got hurt about 5 months ago, and he's with Company A's work comp policy. Like, that's who I buy my work comp through, and they kind of have a setup for me. Now, Company B has a whole different one. What will happen to my employee if I change companies?
So
changing work comp policies.
So your employee should still be covered under the original work comp insurance policy. Any claims that start under one policy will remain under that policy throughout the life of the claim.
Okay. Okay. So, I was worried if I had to carry two work comp policies or anything like that, nothing crazy like that.
No, you're going to be in good shape. The original work comp insurance coverage will provide all the benefits for your injured employee, and then any subsequent injuries will go on the new policy.
Wonderful. You guys are awesome. Thank you very much.
Of course, of course. This is the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Give us a call anytime, 303-713-8255, on any subject. Today we're talking about work comp, but we will try to answer all of your questions. And then we're going to go to Martin in Boulder. Martin, how are we doing today?
Good morning, guys. Hi, guys.
Hi. Having some little bit of trouble with the switchboard, but I'll get it down sooner or later.
My question regards whether or not as an employee, if you want to call a person an employee, but who's paid under the table under one of those circumstances, but that person is actually performing work for a company or a shop or whatever, and that person's injured in the performance of whatever he's assigned to, what happens if that person tries to file a workman's comp claim, even though he's been off the books in terms of payment?
He should still be entitled to benefits, but a lot of times
it opens up a real can of worms. I know it does.
Without a doubt, because more times than not, people that are getting paid under the table are working for people who don't have work comp coverage, who don't have a policy.
What happens then?
Then you can proceed against the employer directly, and there's a whole list of penalties that they're going to be facing from the state and from the employee trying to get work comp benefits. But the bottom line is usually more times than not, the company that does not have work comp coverage usually isn't the most stable company on the planet. So you may be just chasing your tail trying to get money out of them.
Well, does the state agencies, do they take that seriously in terms of investigation as to why this person is injured in performance of these duties assigned to him by whoever he was working or doing the duties for?
Well, the State Insurance Commission definitely does take that seriously. In the work comp context, the injured worker has the ability to go after that uninsured employer for not just all the benefits he would normally be entitled to, but also an additional 50% of those benefits against the employer directly.
In addition to.
Yes.
That's right. Not medical, but for example, like the TTD, temporary total disability, the wage loss benefits, you get those, and then an additional 50%. Same with the permanent partial disability benefits. You'll get those plus an additional 50%. But I tell you, I've had a handful of these cases, and going after these employers isn't that easy. A lot of them will just file bankruptcy and just open, you know, just create a new entity.
Well, isn't that kind of a fraudulent action then?
It is. It is, and they shouldn't be able to get away with it. But from time to time, they're able to pull it off.
But then, really, the critical eye is placed on the employee or pseudo employee for accepting payment under the table. Then, so basically, it's a double-edged sword.
You know, to a certain extent, there will be from sometimes someone will be getting paid under the table, and then the employer will have coverage. So, and then it just everything kind of just falls into place at that point.
One of the things that can happen in that scenario, though, is that if you've got employees working under the table, they might not be covered under your work comp insurance claim or your insurance policy, because the work comp insurance carrier will have designed your premiums based off of how many workers you have and what type of work they're doing. A lot of times you can still get the insurance company to pay the coverage initially, but then that insurance company is going to be asking for all that back from the employer as well.
Is that a clawback kind of a situation?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Another interesting subject while we're on it is, even if you're an illegal alien, and you're injured on the job, you're still going to get 100% work comp coverage and benefits.
100%?
Yep, you're going to get everything.
Oh.
So
even with an illegal status.
Exactly, which is kind of interesting. But, you know, that's the law, and people are entitled to medical treatment and care if they're injured on the job, bottom line.
Well, it was nice talking to you guys.
Yeah. What do you got planned for the weekend?
Horizontal.
There you go. That's the way you want to be.
Yeah, channel changer in my hand. You know the scene.
I do. Well, have a good weekend, Martin.
You too, buddy.
All right. Take care. So, Ryan, when we're talking about work comp coverage, what other types of benefits are you entitled to receive in terms of, do they have to provide transportation to your office appointments?
In some cases, they can. If you're not able to drive yourself, then yes, they will have to be able to get you to and from your doctor's appointments, whether it's by taxi voucher or having somebody come pick you up. Even if you're driving yourself, you're entitled to reimbursement for mileage. The going rate right now is not great, 53 cents per mile, but that is something that you want to keep track of and keep a list. Write down all of your appointments, where you went. You can get on Google and Google the round-trip mileage on Google Maps, and just keep a tally, and then once you've got a bunch of them together, submit that to the insurance company, and they'll pay you out at 53 cents per mile.
This is the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Give us a call on any subject. We'll try to answer it. If we can't answer it, we'll find someone that can. 303-713-8255. Today, we're going to continue talking about workers' compensation, but we will answer any question. Again, it's 303-713-8255. So, Ryan, how long do I treat with the doctor if I'm injured on the job?
Well, that's going to depend on what your medical status is. So that's really up to your doctors and what is going on with you. You got a big injury, then you're going to have more medical treatment. It's when the doctor decides that you're at what's called maximum medical improvement. This is where you're either 100% better, or further treatment is not going to make you better. It might keep you at the same level you're at, and that's considered maintenance treatment, but it's not going to improve your condition. So at that point, you're at what's considered maximum medical improvement, and that's when the bulk of your medical treatment will essentially end, and your claim in workers' comp will start to close. It's not a hard close at that point, but if you're going to get a permanent disability award within a couple of months after maximum medical improvement date. That's when that would happen.
Gotcha. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Answer any legal question. 303-713-8255. We'll be right back. Good morning. It's the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Call us. We'll answer any question. Today we're talking about work comp, but we'll answer anything or any question that you have. If we can't answer, we'll find someone that can. We're going to go to Eric. We'll speak to Eric. He's at Caitlin's. Eric, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
Good. Let me learn some specials by you real quick. I'm going to take up too much of your time.
Sounds good.
The special this week is going to be a 2-egg plate with seared pork tips. They're naturally smoked. They're really juicy, really tender. You get 2 eggs. Our golden hash browns, the pork tips, your choice of toast, tortilla, or pancakes. That's going to be the breakfast special all week. And our lunch special is going to be a California turkey wrap. That's going to actually come in a garden spinach wrap, really tasty. It's got turkey, bacon, lettuce, tomato, guacamole, a side of ranch with that. You can get our homemade chips or fries for an extra dollar on top of that for the lunch special all week. And don't forget, on Mondays and Fridays from 11 to 2, every Monday and every Friday from 11 to 2, there's an all-you-can-eat taco and burrito buffet. It's all-you-can-eat. It's only $7.99. That actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price. And as always, on the weekends, the umbrellas are up. We're doing bottomless $10 mimosas. Can't beat that. So come on down. You can bring the dog, bring the kids. Come on, hang down at Caitlin's and have a good time with us this weekend.
Sounds great. Where are you located?
We're at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that's one block east of Colorado Boulevard, and that's in the Glendale Shopping Center.
Great. Patio's open, right?
Absolutely. Come on down and see us after the show.
Great. Talk to you then.
You got it. Bye.
Okay, we're going to go back to the lines. We're going to talk to Greg, who's got a work comp question. He's out of Arvada. Greg, how can we help you today?
I was wondering if you could answer a question for a person that's on disability and Medicare, and they want to set aside money for the future medical. And it's hard to get any straight answers. I need to know if it's like a good thing or bad thing. I'm kind of confused.
Okay, are you in a position now where you're trying to settle your work comp claim then?
Well, not actually just settle, just the medical part of it. They just want to settle the medical part of it, and it has to be in a set-aside program because of Medicare.
Yeah, so there actually is a duty on the insurance company, and if you had a lawyer on your lawyer, to make sure that Medicare's interest is taken care of in a case like this. So they have to send any proposed settlement, I think it's anything over $25,000 for Medicare recipients or people who are expected to get on Medicare in the near future. They have to submit a proposal to Medicare and get it signed off for this Medicare set aside.
So, Greg, what takes place usually is there'll be a company that will be hired to determine what you'll need for future medical care and treatment and what the cost of that is through Medicare. And they'll put that amount into what's called a set-aside account. And then try to get formal approval by Medicare. And if they provide formal approval, then the insurance carrier will give you a check and you have to put that in a separate bank account and you got to monitor that money and keep track of what you spend it on. Because once that money is exhausted, then you go to Medicare to pay for your future medical treatment.
Okay. And the only other question I have, and all that's been done and they've approved it and everything. They're just waiting for me to say yes or no. I'm just confused because I'm getting different answers and I don't have a lawyer because I used to, but it's a long story. But what I'm confused about is my procedures and things that does it have to be approved by Medicare after I get this money, or can I just use the money for the procedures that I need for my injury?
The procedures do not need to be approved by Medicare, but okay. They have to be recommended by one of your authorized treating providers.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's where I was confused, because they were saying Medicare had to approve the procedure, and
no.
Medicare doesn't approve a lot of the procedures.
No, that's not true. But you want to know something? You should call me next week so we can sit down. It's a free consultation, just so you're on this. We're all on the same page, and you understand what's happening and what's taking place in your claim.
Okay, that'd be perfect.
Okay, and Bell and Pollock's phone number is 303-795-5900. We'll be happy to help you. Just give us a call and sit down and explain everything to you in a lot more detail.
Great. I'll give you a call next week. Thank you so much.
All right. This is the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Feel free to call us on any subject, 303-713-8255. We're going to go to Randy in the Springs. Randy, how can we help you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My situation is I lost my job through my employer because they sold the company, and I applied for unemployment benefits, got it. And then through Obama requirements, so that you had to have mandated, you have to have insurance. And I was searching for insurance, and COBRA didn't work out. So I called other resources, and they said that I could, that I qualified or was eligible for Medicaid because of my age, I suppose. And I went ahead and filled out all the applications forms, and they sent me a Medicaid card for medical and medications, prescriptions. Well, I had an IRA through my employer. I was there for 20 years, and I had it's pretty sizable, and I asked them if I had to report that to them, and they said, no, it didn't matter. So I'm just wondering, I've had some I don't know how much of, over the last 2 years, how much medical costs I've had or anything like that. I've had a couple of minor surgeries, but will they make me try to make me pay that back?
who paid for the medical treatment?
Medicaid.
Okay, and why would you think you'd have to pay that back?
Why? Because I have an IRA.
And you got on Medicaid because of your financial situation?
What was that?
And you got on Medicaid due to your financial situation, and you never reported that you had an IRA to the people at Medicaid.
Well, I believe they asked me if I had an IRA, and they said that didn't matter.
Well, then you should be in good shape. I don't see any reason why you'd have to pay that back.
Well, do you ever hear of this circumstances? Am I clear on that?
You're crystal clear. You're crystal clear. I've heard of situations where people are receiving Medicaid or SSI benefits, and they receive some kind of monetary recovery for, let's just say, an auto accident recovery, and then they can no longer receive it, those benefits for that particular month, if it's set up properly. But I've never dealt with a situation with an IRA. And if you made the representation to the representatives at Medicaid that you had an IRA and it was fine, then you should be in good shape.
Would it be appropriate to request a letter from them or investigate the bylaws?
You certainly can. What gives you the impression that you're going to have to repay for the medical treatment you received?
Well, just who knows? I mean, I don't know the laws.
Sure, sure. All right, but you didn't get any notice from Medicaid that you're going to have to repay anyone, did you?
Oh, no, not yet.
So there may be some circumstances where an IRA that is not in payout status is considered a non-exempt asset, and that might... in some states, I'm not certain on whether this affects you here in Colorado, but in some states, it may affect the initial Medicaid eligibility. If, in fact, you weren't eligible for Medicaid in the first place, there might actually be a problem here.
Okay. I tell you what, Randy, I'm going to put you on hold. Kevin's going to take down your information, and then this weekend, I'm going to do a search on the Medicaid website for Colorado to see what the situation is if you have an IRA, depending on the status of the IRA. Does that sound good?
Yeah, I also have an annuity.
Oh, okay. Okay. And that annuity gives you how much per month?
All right, it's not annuitized. It's still...
Okay, gotcha. All right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold. Kevin's going to take down your information, and then I'll call you next week to make sure we're giving you the appropriate advice. All right, we're going to go back to the lines. We got Robert and Arvada again. Robert, you there? You got a work comp question?
Yes. I was hurt on the job in 2000 working for the government, and it took 3 years to pay me. Well, I kind of run up some bills on the credit card and stuff, but the credit card companies wrote it off after a while, but I am still 15 years later getting bills from a couple of those collection agencies. Is there a statute of limitation on that, or is there a way to take care of this, or what do you do? I'm afraid to buy anything.
Well, in this case, is this are these outstanding debts for medical treatment from your work comp claim?
No. They're debts from the credit card.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, there is a statute of limitations on that.
Even from the guys that buy them from the credit card companies?
Even from who buys them from the credit card companies, the collection agencies?
Yeah.
Yeah, there should be a statute of limitations on that, and we can get that for you. Generally speaking, did you find that one, Ryan? Right around,
I think it's 6 years.
6 years. That's what I thought, 6 or 7 years. And they shouldn't be able to proceed against you at all. And it should not affect your credit. And it should have. This should no longer be on your credit report.
But somebody told me they sell a thing to another company, and then they do it, and they can keep this going as long as they want. Can they or not?
Well, I've got right here, to sue a debt, the Colorado statute of limitations is 6 years at CRS 13-80-103.51A.
Oh, that's nice to know.
Yeah, of course they're going to continue to try to collect the money. And when it's past the 6 years, you know, the credit card company probably sells it to a third party, sells the debt to a third party. Yeah, it's going to be 6 years, but they're still going to try to collect the debt.
They can't. If they take you to court, they couldn't do it, right?
Right.
Okay, well, thank you very much. It's nice to know.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. This is the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Please call us on any subject. We'll try to answer your questions, 303-713-8255. Thank you. Good morning. This is the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Thank you for all your phone calls. Feel free to call us on any question, 303-713-8255. You can look at our website. It's championsofthepeople.com or bellpollock.com. Again, I'd like to say happy Armed Forces Day for everyone who's serving in the military. We have one line open, so we're going to hit the lines, and we're going to speak with Carol. Carol, thanks for holding for so long. How can we help you today?
I have a question about taxes, if we would be liable for taxes. We invested about $35,000 in an oil company that is now claiming bankruptcy, and we had the shares, we owned the shares in a master limited partnership, and we're hoping that if we hang on to them, maybe someday they'll rebound. The company will rebound, but I'm wondering in the fact that it's a master limited partnership, if we would have any liability in this bankruptcy.
Carol, that's a very, very good question, very technical. I tell you what, is we're going to need time to find the appropriate attorney to speak to get the answer to that question. We will get the answer to your question. I'm going to put you on hold, and Kevin's going to take down your information so we can contact you next week.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Of course. Thanks for calling. This is the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Please call us, 303-713-8255. We'll answer any question. We're going to go straight to the lines and speak with Joe. Joe, how can we help you today?
So I had knee surgery back in December. Everything went great. Surgery went great. My insurance covered most of it. I ended up paying out of pocket maybe about $800.
Wow, that is good insurance.
Yeah, and so after it was all over, about a month later, I get a bill from a nurse surgical assistant and for $3,000.
That may happen from time to time.
Second bay right there for me.
What's that?
I said that happens from time to time. Did you submit it to your insurance company?
It was submitted to the insurance company. My insurance company rejected it. And they paid like $85 or something, but they said it was non-claimable for them.
It was on what?
That wasn't covered.
Well, they can't. If they paid a portion of it, the providers cannot balance bill you. You're not responsible for the balance of that bill.
Okay, I paid eight. They sent me a thing for 86 complete oil change, please.
What's the name of
it?
Gasparetti. Okay. All right, then. It looks like we lost Joe. We're going to go back to the lines and speak with David. David, how can we help you today?
Hi. About a month ago, my wife was hit, and her car was totaled.
Okay.
And the insurance company, we went through the other driver's insurance company, and originally he said it wasn't his fault, but so it took about a week before they accepted responsibility. And then we went through the process of trying to get the car appraised to see if it could get fixed. They totaled it. They gave an estimate that I thought was very low, and I told them that. And then they didn't offer anything else. And then I got a call and said, if I don't accept the offer within 2 days, they're going to just give me the offer less $400 salvage value, and I own the vehicle. So I'm wondering what recourse do I have?
Okay, so in this situation, you got property damage from a car accident. You have a couple of options. You know, you do want to make sure that you're not getting taken advantage of by the insurance company, that they're not lowballing you. What you need to do in that case, go out and get your own appraisal of the vehicle. If you don't have an independent appraiser take a look at it and give you a different number, a higher number for you to start negotiating with, then it's very difficult to get the insurance company to agree to an additional amount. They've made their decision. This is the way they look at it. They've made their decision on what it's worth, and they're not going to give you a penny more. So in order to get them to give you a penny more, you need some expert help from an independent appraiser.
Another option is to look in the newspaper or on the internet to find a vehicle that was in basically the same shape as yours and obviously the same model and year, and show the insurance carrier of the cost of that vehicle. You could talk to a used car salesman, used car manager. Those are all options for you. Last option is you can always sue the individual and for the actual price of the vehicle.
Right. Now, I've already done internet searches on the vehicle, and I can't find one even in the neighborhood of what they're suggesting this car is worth.
Okay. And did you present that evidence to them, the insurance carrier?
I did not send it to them, but I will.
Do that. You'll probably get a little bit more money out of them. I'm not certain that you're going to like their ultimate finding in terms of the amount they're going to give you, but that's a start.
Yeah, I'm not like I told them, you know, we're not looking to try to get rich off of this, but we do want a fair price for the car.
Of course. And they should give you that fair price. Was anyone injured in this crash?
My wife sustained some injury. They appear to be minor, but we haven't gotten into negotiation about any medical stuff. A lot of times it won't show up for a while. So
good. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a good point. All right. If you guys need further help, you feel free to contact us during the week. It's 303-795-5900 if there are injuries. If there aren't any injuries in this case, you can just sue the individual that hit your vehicle in small claims or county court, depending on the amount of the damage.
Okay.
But if you have any further questions, we'll be free to feel free to give us a call during the week at Bell and Pollock. You can get information off our website at championsofthepeople.com and bellpollock.com.
We'll do that.
All right,
thank
David, have a great
much.
Day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. All right, we're going to go to Joshua, and we're going to try to answer your question, but we only have about a minute. So how can we help you today, Joshua?
What's the time limit on the statute of limitations if there's fraud upon the court? A friend of mine is a veteran that he got kind of, they lied in court about his father's estate. Now they got a private investigator investigating it, and it's a complete, the special administrator lied and sold stuff and has stuff in his possession that was of value that he said he sold. Is there anything you can do about it? We found out that he had hired a bunch of the judge's clerks and stuff, so we figure it's kind of a rigged system.
Okay, and where did this take place?
Jefferson County.
Okay, and you think the administrator hired some of the clerks?
No, we know. The private investigator found out that three of the clerks used to be the clerks for the judges that he hired. And then they filed a bunch of false claims, or they said that they didn't know where the vehicles went, and he found the vehicles in a car lot in Commerce City. And then they sold his property, and they told him if he didn't sign off that he wouldn't get anything, and they kind of abused him legally.
So, Joshua, I'm sorry we're kind of running out of time here, but there are a couple of different fraud statutes in Colorado, and some of them have different statutes of limitations. Some of them have 1 year statute of limitations, some of them have three. But if you need more information, we're happy. We'll keep you on the line. We'll get your information. We'll try and get you the right answer.
Yeah, well, I'll put you on hold. Kevin will get your information, and we'll get someone to call you back next week and get more details about your case.
All right, thanks.
Thanks. This is Robert Brovage, Ryan Wangler. We're out. This is the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Thank you for all your phone calls. Feel free to call us during the week on any question. We're personal injury attorneys. Give us a call, 303-795-5900. Happy to help and get you an accident packet, insurance packet, whatever you need. Give us a call, 303-795-5900. Thank you.